Grab your lunch, turn up the volume, and get ready for 3 hours of sports conversation surrounding the hottest sports topics and pop culture events of the day. It's the new Sports 180. To be a part of today's show and share your thoughts, call in to 656-9900, 656-9900, or via Twitter using @Sports180. Now, with Heather Harrington, here is Josh Ward.
Happy first day of July. The July edition of Sports 180 kicking off now. I'm Heather Harrington along with Eric Kane and Sam Foreman back at the Budweiser Studios pushing all of the right buttons. I don't know if I just did not get the memo today, Eric Kane. Today was talking day. Everybody is talking. We got people in government talking. We got Greg Sankey talking to Congress. We got Adam Silver talking to ESPN. Jeremy Pruitt is talking to Dan Patrick. Rob Manfred is talking to Dan Patrick. I mean, what? You didn't tell me all this was going to happen yesterday when we were on the show. Welcome.
Yeah, Dan Patrick has been a busy little bee this morning. I've been talking for 6 straight hours, so if you haven't turned the dial yet, here we are.
Oh, God. I'm sorry, listeners. I had no idea.
It is National Talking Day here on July 1st. Can you believe that we're finally midway through the 2020 year? I mean, that gift says, I ain't gonna lie, they got us in the first half. You got to hope that that's the case for 2020.
Yeah, it is just wild. We still have a long way to go. Mm-hmm. I am starting to see more and more political ads. That is only going to get worse as the fall approaches. I mean, hold on to your butts, people. Do you remember that line, the Sam Jackson line in Jurassic Park when he's about to flip the switch and turn the fences off? He's like, hold on to your butts.
I didn't know where it came
dangling.
From.
Yeah.
I didn't know where it came from, but I've heard it before. Yeah.
Oh, love that movie. Like the 25th anniversary of that movie. Only had 50, I think less than 50 scenes of CGI, and it's classic. Still holds up. Rewatch it. It's very good.
I was very young when that came out. Very
Have
young.
You not seen it as an adult?
As an adult, no.
Oh, you need to watch it.
Yeah, I'll need to go back and check that out.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to get Eric Kane caught up on a lot of stuff today, but we're going to catch you up because there's a lot going on in the sports world. This is just totally crazy. I know it feels like a random Wednesday, but being July 1st, everything is going on. So let's take a look around the sports world.
The biggest news, the main stories, the headlines that have everyone talking. It's time to take a look around the sports world.
So, Eric, this isn't even on the rundown yet because I legit saw it as I was scrolling and the Sports 180 bumper was playing. I told you a second ago, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey is talking to Congress today, testifying in front of Congress along with Mississippi AD Keith Carter. They told the Senate that they believe loosening name, image, and likeness rules will result in money being pulled away from athletic departments, and it will negatively impact women's sports. What in the world are they talking about? You're not supposed to lie in front of Congress. We will talk about this because I am just absolutely mind blown, and I am usually like walking hand in hand with Commissioner Sankey. I think he is sharp as a tack. But the way they are trying to spin this, I've heard Bubba Cunningham from North Carolina say this. I've heard so many people that just want to hold on to the old, outdated, antiquated system and not pay these athletes. I've heard them try to use this professional model. They are not trying to get with the professional model. This is the open market. This is what the open market will pay you. Has no bearing on college sports budgets and would actually benefit very popular female athletes. This is just insanity to me.
Yeah, I think athletic departments, certain athletic directors and programs around the country will just do anything they can to not jump in on the NLI, the National Letter of Intent, or name, image, and likeness talk. It's baffling to me because you're right. I mean, this is 2020. It's outdated. It's time to get with the program.
I just don't get it. I will never get it. It's become like religion and politics to me. I am so in favor of the players, whichever players they are. If they can get a piece of the action, I always cite Kurt Majit. Kurt Majit was a big-time college football athlete could have capitalized financially on his 15, 20 minutes of fame, and injuries kept him from earning big money in the NFL. So he just missed out on an opportunity to put $100,000 or $50,000 in his pocket. You know what I would have loved walking out of college? $10,000 in my pocket. Any amount of money as you're getting started in life is a leg up. So we'll talk about that more later. TSSAA came out yesterday. Girls soccer and football will not start on time. The TSSAA is considering three different plans. We're going to go over those in hour number two. But the high school football options that they are considering, definitely multi-tiered. Some of them as low as a seven-game regular season schedule. But the news yesterday, girls soccer and football will not start on time.
Yeah, and I mean, this is the tiers, the three options are coming out, you know, really in the last 15 minutes. And, you know, I'm still kind of reading through all the different options right now. Some are interesting, to say the least. Some are not so great. But anything to get some plans into motion, like we talked about yesterday, anything to where if we can lead this week with kind of having an idea of what the fall will look like. Yes, the final decision might come next week or whenever it may come, but we need to know what the fall is going to look like. And so hopefully for these student athletes, the parents, the families involved, can get some of that closure at some point in the near future.
Yeah, as we are searching for a new nanny, we lose ours at the end of this month. Trying to just figure out what the schedule for August is going to be, it would really help me out. It would really help this mama out. Jeremy Pruitt was on the Dan Patrick Show, possibly for the last time, earlier today. It was a little bit of a roast fest after Jeremy Pruitt got off the air. I was kind of taken aback by it. Okay, Dan Patrick. But Jeremy Pruitt, a couple of announcements. No positive COVID tests for players at this time. And they do have a plan to retest players after the three-day holiday coming up this weekend.
Yeah, first and foremost, that's awesome. No positive tests so far. Really tip of the cap to the players, first and foremost, for being smart. Tennessee, for the protocols and the safety measures taken. That's awesome. Smart to test them when they come back from campus as well over the weekend. Having said that, I have not listened to the audio yet because I've been on the air, but I had a buddy of mine text me. He's like, dude, are you listening to this? I'm like,
oh, man.
He was like, this is unbearable. This is horrible. You can tell
You're talking about the Pruitt, when Pruitt was on Dan Patrick?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was. Did he stay tuned? Because they talked a little Major League Baseball for about 2 or 3 minutes with a poll that they had running this morning. And then they went back to the interview before they went to break, like talking about it. They ripped him for not wearing orange, which we will talk about.
What?
They were like, I think Bill Belichick just called and said, man, that guy was exciting. I mean, it was just crazy. It was crazy.
My buddy
said, will not do the Dan Patrick Show for a while.
My buddy said that they were making fun of him after he got off. He said that there was a little bit of a delay in there. I'm like, well, that's just radio. That's how that works. But he said that Dan Patrick said it felt like an interrogation more than an interview. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah,
that's not great. I was like, well, I can tell you this. Jeremy Pruitt probably didn't want to go on that show to begin with because he just never wants to talk to us to begin with.
Yeah, yeah. And Dan went as far to say, I guess if Tennessee wins a national title, we're going to talk to Philip Fulmer. So it was really funny. You can check out that his YouTube channel or wherever.
We're going to hear some of that later, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. Yeah. We're going to bring you some Jeremy Pruitt audio later on today. Getting to a couple of more things before the end of the look around the sports world. The Ivy League, they are set to make an announcement on fall sports by next week, July 8th. It's going to be like, boom, final decision. This is what we're doing. Don't forget, the Ivy League was the first to cancel their conference basketball tournaments and subsequently like all their spring sports. So Ivy League kind of a front runner on the COVID cancellations.
And we thought they were crazy when they did it because I remember they did it on a Tuesday. And then the whole sports world shut down on a Thursday.
Yeah.
And we spent 24 hours saying, what are you doing? That's so premature. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Rudy Gobert. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. So getting out in front of it. That's the Ivy League.
Lionel Messi joins an elite club with his 700th goal. That's incredible. I'm sure you could hear more about that tonight as Will West will be on the airwaves again with the starting 11. So, or is it starting 12?
It's starting 11. Starting 11. There's 11 players on the field at one time.
That's what I thought.
I don't know much soccer.
It sounded so funny when I said that.
I do know that, though. Yeah. I do know that.
Okay. Okay. Cool.
Is it the starting 12?
I think whatever. He has the starting lineup and then the starting 11. So it all runs together.
Will was promoing his podcast earlier this morning. He's like, yeah, tonight it'll be the starting lineup. And I'm like, No,
that's not it. Yep, not it. Marv Albert not going to the NBA bubble. We'll hear from Adam Silver also today about the NBA model, the bubble model that they are using. amidst the rising COVID numbers, he's still feeling pretty optimistic. And then also, you cover recruiting. What in the world is going on at North Carolina this year? Mac Brown, what?
He's killing it.
Killing it.
Just got Tony Grimes, top 10 player rated in the country, number one cornerback. And yeah, he's doing a good job.
How old is he? 72?
He's old. I'll say this too. I mean, he's obviously a player's coach and he's doing a lot of things right now in recruiting. North Carolina is absolutely loaded with prospects
in
this
talent.
Cycle. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
tons of in-state talent. And he's locking it down.
Yeah. Yeah. The 2021-2022 classes is loaded up there in North Carolina. So that has a lot to do with it as well.
Tennessee used to go into the Carolinas, both of them.
Yeah.
Just pull those numbers.
Come on, Jay Graham.
Phew. Yeah. What's up with that? So we'll talk some recruiting today, too, because also Ari Wasserman of The Athletic, he's got a Tennessee prospect as one of the top 10 most impact players of the 2021 class. So we'll tell you about that as well today. So we're like locked and loaded. You're going to hear from Jeremy Pruitt on the Dan Patrick Show today. You're going to hear from Chip Carey, Braves Radio. Thank you for setting that up at 1:30. At this point in time, I loved what Dan said when they were talking about baseball. He goes, you know, when we were trying to figure all this out, everybody's got their favorite restaurant and that's where you want to go. But now you're at the point where you're starving and you're on the highway and you just need a place to eat. You're going to eat whatever you see first. And let's get some baseball going. I don't care what it looks like. I'm starving. I want baseball. I'll take 60 games.
I can relate.
Yeah. So we'll talk to Chip Carey, Braves Radio, coming up at 1:30. And then at 2:30, Braden Gall from Athlon Sports will join us. You'll hear from the head coach of the Vols coming up next, Jeremy Pruitt, on the Dan Patrick Show earlier today. Coming up on Sports 180 on The Sports Animal.
Illinois.
No hot takes or overreaction here.
We can't have anyone freak out there, okay?
Back to Sports 180 with Josh and Heather.
Head coach of the Vols, Jeremy Pruitt, was on the Dan Patrick Show earlier this morning. That was an interesting interview. and I know that you said a couple of your friends had some comments that they were kind of firing back and forth.
Yeah, I'm super pumped. They were saying that he seemed so unmotivated. They said it took him 7 seconds to answer the question. And I was like, well, there should be a little delay in there to begin with, but maybe he was just being a little slow. I don't know. They said that Dan Patrick was having a field day with him after he got off. So I'm sure it was awful and cringeworthy. Because, I mean, there's a lot. Now, Jeremy Pruitt has gotten a lot better in talking with the media since he's been head coach, a lot better. But there are times, like with anybody, there are times when he just doesn't want to have any of it. And it's abundantly clear.
Yeah, I will say that one of the Danettes did try to stick up for him. So props to him. And he was like, dude, Vols fans had enough of the awesome sound bites. He goes, don't forget, Derek Dooley was a great interview. You know, Butch Jones was a great interview. How did that work out? And Dan was like, oh, I get it. I don't care what Vol fans just think. He's like, I got a whole national audience out here that's listening like, what the heck? So it was funny. But Jeremy Pruitt making the announcement, no positive COVID-19 tests for any players right now upon their return to the University of Tennessee. I would caution people that are, you know, maybe beating their chest about that. There's probably going to be some at some point in time. So just take it all in stride. And we just got to, you know, hope that our athletes will be, that if they are symptomatic, it'll be found out early. They can quarantine and make a full recovery. You just don't want anybody to suffer any sort of permanent life-altering, you know, situation based on all this, because we still don't know, like, what this disease can do. But no COVID-19 positive tests right now for the football team.
Are you surprised that's the case? Because I am, to be honest.
Yeah, with how many asymptomatic mm-hmm. people that are out there, especially in that age range, I'm very shocked.
Yeah.
I'm very shocked. Especially, I mean, you've seen Clemson have like 37. You've seen LSU have upwards of 30. So you've seen a lot of schools that, I mean, our players aren't any different from them.
Mm-hmm.
And the longer this has gone on, I mean, don't forget, everybody's like super vigilant at the beginning of a crisis. And then as time goes on, you relax your standards. And okay, parents are like, okay, well, yeah, you can go see your girlfriend, you can go see this, that. And if those people are asymptomatic, it's just a matter of time before it's passed on. So we'll see what happens. But they are planning on testing after the July 4th weekend. So everybody's going to get 3 days off this weekend. They are free to go home or do whatever they want to do. And then they'll all be tested when they come back to school. But this was Jeremy Pruitt. Dan Patrick was asking him about, you know, what are you talking to your team about in regards to the fall and playing football this fall? And this was Jeremy Pruitt on the Dan Patrick Show earlier.
What do you say to your players as far as whatever concerns they may have? What's your message to them?
Yeah, we've been worried about the things that we have control over. So once we get in here and we have tests and we don't have negatives, we kind of control our own surroundings, you know. So within our program, we've done a very nice job of that this summer, and we've got to continue to do that.
When do you have full contact practice?
Let's see. We start practice on August 7th, so it's 3 or 4 days after that.
So kind of giving you a rundown of what the schedule is going to look like. They are full steam ahead. Dan even said, you know, right off the bat, he threw the question out there, do you think there will be 100,000 fans in the stands like Philip Fulmer said a couple of weeks ago? And Jeremy Pruitt was, you know, he was dancing around it, and he tried to say, if there can be, I'm sure there will be 100,000 people in the stands. And Dan was like, no, but realistically, like, what do you think? And he did a great job of giving an answer, but not answering. You know, he handled it well.
Yeah, I mean, like, what do you say to that? You have to, as we kind of talked about with Phil Fulmer, like, we all know, like, he's taking the best foot forward. He's trying to be positive.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we all know that that's not going to be the case. So, I mean, if you're asking Jeremy Pruitt that question, it's like, well, do you want me to? No, I think there's going to be 40,000. Like, no, like, that would come across. If he were to say that, that would have come across so bad. He would have got blown up for that, too.
Yeah, yeah. So you just want to be positive at this point in time. I mean, until they tell you you can't, just keep doing it, right? I mean, that's
exactly
kind of like what Dabo is preaching over at Clemson. So I don't have a problem with that at all. Still sticking to the timeline of practice starts August 7th, and we'll be in pads a couple of days after that. We'll see what happens because of the governor's order that would apply to the University of Tennessee, I imagine, with the number restriction till the end of August, if Tennessee would need, like, a special waiver or anything like that?
To my understanding, that does not apply for professional or college.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's only for other levels.
Yes, yeah. To my understanding, it does not apply to college or professional. So
I thought it applied to, like, everything, like concerts, everything. No, you might be right. If I misinterpreted it, that's easy for me to do.
Well, you know, there's been a lot of information out there for the last, you know, 4 months about this whole thing. So, but no, I'm pretty sure it's just, colleges and professional, you know, team like the Titans, the Preds, you know, Grizzlies, whatever it may be. Grizzlies don't need that, but they can get together, they can train and all that stuff. It's just for the high school athletes. But we'll have to see. And of course, we remember there's a 6 week period for college football players kind of come back and get reacclimated so they can have kind of walkthroughs and stuff. They can be on the field for about 2 weeks prior to camp, and then camp starts, you get your four weeks, then you get a bunch of full padded practices before the season starts.
Yeah, and I'm imagining, and this is something that we've talked about, Josh and I, multiple times, it's going to be like an extended fall camp. Like, guys are going to be absolutely sick of fall camp because it's going to go on for a couple of more weeks than normal.
It's not great. And I mean, I'll say this too. I mean, I didn't play that long ago, but the NCAA has really just made camps so easy in the last, you know, 15 years. It's incredible. I remember my freshman year at Carson, we were having 3-a-days. And you can't even sniff a 3-a-day anymore nowadays. Like, you
can't. I don't even know if you can have 2-a-days
anymore. I think
anymore.
You can have, like, I could
a
be
couple?
Wrong. I think you have a couple 2-a-days, but you can only have one padded practice. And so, you know, camp is getting easier, but still, it's the whole you're in meetings all day. You're working all day. Your body's tired. You're around the same old guys. Like, you know, camp is the right length. But you're right. I mean, with that acclimation period, it won't be quite the same, but it'll be still kind of in that same realm. And it's going to be so long, and they're going to be so tired and just so over it. That's just camp, though. You can my tone in my voice is just getting really annoyed because I'm thinking about all the camps that I took part in my life, and it's just, oh.
It's brutal. You started dreading it around this time, around the beginning of July, like after July 4th weekend, like next Monday. Guys, like, you are too, just you start would go, dreading it.
Yeah. You would go into a camp of some sorts. I don't know how other sports do it, but like, you have to go through an extreme training regimen, and then you get to play the games, which is awesome. But in order to get there, you feel like it takes forever.
Yeah, and you go through that, like, even when you've been working out, you go through that period of soreness where you don't even want to, like, go to the restroom because it hurts to sit down.
For, like, a football player, your first... I've been
you're
there.
You're, like, dying.
Your first couple of shout-out squats, cleans, your first couple of days, like, just getting in, like, a linebacker stance or a three-point stance or whatever. Oh, yeah. Like, the sides of your shins to where you haven't done that in months will just ache for days. And then, of course, your body gets used to it and you move on. But putting on a helmet.
The helmet. The that's first time, be the worst.
The first the time you put on a helmet, it's like, oh, man, how do I do this? And then, you know, 2 days later, it's like, oh, that's just normal again.
Yeah. It's like having your cell phone back in your hand. You're like, oh, yeah, this is normal. Yep. But, yeah, the first couple of cracks in all that heat, absolutely brutal for sure. Yeah. And then what was it? It was Derek Dooley that if you wanted to wear long sleeves, right, you had to start the season in long sleeves. It might have been Butch Jones. I can't remember. It was one of the two.
Well, I don't know. That's stupid to begin with.
Yeah, and there was a couple of guys that they were like, we're wearing sleeves in November, so I guess I'm going to be out here in 2 days with these long sleeves. I don't know how they did it.
Again, I was playing / not here for a lot of the 10 years. Definitely Dooley's, but for most of Butch's and I didn't hear that, but that sound, I mean, that might be the stupidest thing I think I've ever heard.
Well, there's a couple of them. How about not recruiting an offensive lineman in one whole recruiting cycle? Yeah, really smart.
That's really bad.
Also, we were talking about this during the rundown. This is news that is breaking at this point. I mean, over the last 30 minutes, this has come out. Greg Sankey, along with Mississippi State's athletic director, talking today in front of Congress about name, image, and likeness and loosening those restrictions. We're going to talk about that coming up next because some of the comments that they had, I think, are just very misleading. And I don't know if that's intentional or maybe they don't understand where the money comes from in an open market. Does it come from the athletic budget or somewhere else? So we'll go over that coming up next. 656-9900, *990 is a free call for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. You'll also hear more from Jeremy Pruitt on The Dan Patrick Show. This is Sports 180 on the Sports Animal.
This is VFL Josh Malone, and we're counting it down. It is just
66 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go on!
College football just a second ago, and this next conversation applies to all of college sports, male and female, as name, image, and likeness. This has been the hottest topic, I think, besides COVID-19 of the summer, Eric Kane, and what's going to happen. I am still very firmly in the camp of this is a conversation of when, not if, this is going to happen. And I think the sooner people start embracing it and actually learning what players making money off their name, image, and likeness means, the faster that they can get legislation approved and we can all move on with our lives. But Commissioner Greg Sankey met with Congress today and was going over some stuff about name, image, and likeness. And one of the concerns he, along with Mississippi State AD, raised was that they were fearful of name, image, and likeness, if it's approved, money being taken out of athletic budgets, which would then in turn hurt women's sports. They said that loosening name, image, and likeness rules will result in money being pulled away from athletic departments, and it will negatively impact women's sports. I don't really exactly know what that comment means. Are you thinking that boosters are going to just start directly paying the athletes so they're not going to be donating to colleges anymore?
That is kind of where my mind is going when I think of that comment. Like, instead of donating, you know, however many, you know, $1,000 a year or a quarter or whatever it is, you're going to have Tennessee's quarterback come out and do a autograph signing at your dealership instead. And so that's kind of what I was thinking there.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of statistical data they are able to back that up with. I would be very interested, because most of the name, image, and likeness on the free market is in regards to players having YouTube channels and being able to profit off that. Players having podcasts or doing product placement on their Instagram feed, social media wise. I'm sure there will be people that try to get autograph signings or high-profile athletes to cut commercials for them.
Yeah, spots will be big.
Yeah, that'll definitely be something. But I don't think that that is going to significantly...
Yeah.
I mean, the people that think these boosters are going to go out and pay $1 million for a prospective athlete to come to their favorite school, I just do not see that as being realistic.
No, and so you're exactly right about the product placement, about YouTube channels, podcasts. I mean, you know, every, you know, a group of players from every, you know, football team in America could start a podcast and could make some money off of it, whereas not every football player could go and cut a 30-second commercial and get reimbursed, whereas only a quarterback, only a Juwan Jennings, only an Admiral Schofield,
a Trey Smith.
I mean, yeah. These are about the five, you know, about five guys I just named off right there that I, you know, maybe an up-and-coming freshman like Henry T, maybe. But, like, that's it. And so there will be a few that will profit off that, and that's fine. But I think you're on the right track of saying, you know, the YouTube channels, the podcasts, the Instagrams, the, you know, the influencers and all that. That's where I think a lot of that money will come from in the NIL talks.
Yeah. And David Ubbin points out on Twitter, I'm going to need to see some receipts on this one, fellas. Like I said, I don't know what kind of data they are using to back this up. But if they're just saying it without that data, that would be my first question is, okay, how can you prove this? If you want to raise concerns about unintended and unforeseen consequences that could develop from this, you know, abuse of maybe too much intermingling with boosters and like for recruiting purposes or whatever that, if you want to label those as this is why we're kind of against this because we just don't want the unintended consequences to really bite us, jump up and bite us. We want to cover all our bases. But I think to intentionally mislead or blatantly mislead about how this could negatively impact women's sports, which I'm sure is a huge hot button topic for people that this is not their everyday walk of life. They're not just sitting there and they know everything about name, image, and likeness. The first thing that pops into their mind is Title IX, and like we don't want a massive lawsuit on our hands. So these people are going to believe what a commissioner of a league as powerful as the SEC is saying.
And Sankey knows that. And that, yeah, I mean, that point was directed because you're talking with, you know, groups of people that don't deal with this, like you said. And then, you know, with everything going on and kind of where we are as a society and all that, when you, you know, press a Title IX type issue like that, you don't want to touch it. And so, until they can, you know, dig into it and see exactly how that's going to affect, they just kind of will take the word of the commissioner for it. And so I feel like Sankey knew exactly what he was doing. It's wrong. Until I see, as you guys pointed out, until I see some receipts and see your work behind those comments, then sure. But right now, I'm kind of with you. I just don't see how that's gonna work.
Yeah, and, you know, I am very much in the opposite camp of I think this could actually be super beneficial for female athletes because they would be able to capitalize on, and it might not be a huge amount of money, but any amount of money is better than no amount of money, correct?
Yeah, you can do lessons, right, and get paid to do it, because right now that's
like you couldn't hold a private camp. You can work camps in the summer, but you couldn't like have the Heather Harrington volleyball camp, you know, where you are making the majority of the money.
And that's where a lot of minor league baseball players make money too.
Yeah. So opportunities like that. And, you know, there have been just some phenomenal female athletes over the years of me covering this that kind of go viral, like pictures of them go viral. And you're like, golly, this is their 15 minutes of fame. And they're not able to capitalize on it financially. It just is such a missed opportunity and one that might not ever present itself again. And there's a ton of football players that even fall into that category that are going to be super popular in college that aren't going to translate to the NFL and have missed a window of making any amount of money off of their name, image, or likeness.
And I mean, unless they go back to their college town and host a radio show, then, you know, I hope he's listening when he heard that. But no, you're exactly right. I mean, you reach the, in terms of being in the mainstream media, in terms of popularity, you're never going to be as, you know, highly regarded in society as you are a lot of times as you are in college. And so, you know, cashing on it now to whereas a second career or a career in the NFL might not work out or professionally. So I get exactly what you're saying. You know, a lot of people aren't going to remember, I don't know. I mean, what if Daniel Patuli doesn't work out with the Rams? 5 years from now, we're going to be like, oh, yeah, that Daniel Patuli guy. I mean, that's just kind of how it goes.
But he was a huge star in college.
He was.
And if he could have made $10,000, I mean, that's a significant amount of money to somebody. I mean, shoot, it's a significant amount of money if somebody handed me a $10,000 check right now. So, yeah, to a 22-year-old, if you were able to compile that over a four-year, I mean, it's not like everybody's going to be making $1 million. $500,000, $250,000, any amount of money that you can make and have like a little nest egg for when you get out of college is a positive thing. And it also teaches you responsibility. This is how you make money. This is how you brand yourself. This is how you pay your taxes on that money. This is how you become a responsible member of society. Like, I just don't see the downside, but there are just people that are so against player empowerment. It's almost foreign to me. It's almost like they're making an argument that I legitimately cannot understand.
It's just incredible how, I mean, if you against the, it's the, how much money that athletes make, universities and athletic departments and everything. And then certain players could certainly profit on that and do well for themselves. And they just don't see a penny of it. It's just, you know, I know this is, you know, data, but like the Fab Five, if, you know, they were able to profit off their name, image and likeness. Oh my goodness. I mean, it'd be absolutely. I mean, they started selling the long shorts, just because they wore them, and they never saw a penny from it. I mean, that's just one example. So people don't like change. People are stuck in their ways, and I couldn't agree with you more. It's not a matter of when; it's a matter of if, and if is coming soon. I mean,
it's a matter of.
It's not a matter of if; it's a matter of when, and the when is coming soon. Got that backwards.
Yeah.
But you know, with Florida putting the pressure on the Congress, saying, "Hey, we want to do this in July of 2021." And that's kind of where we sit right now.
Yeah, they're trying to beat out California, who had already said that for the 2021 season, but Florida trying to get it done ahead of time.
Yeah.
So, and you've seen things change rapidly. I mean, when I started in my job 13 years ago, sports gambling, you would have, if you gambled on sports in the state of Tennessee, you kind of kept it quiet. Like, you had your friends that knew about what you were doing, but you were not out there in any sort of conversation, you know, talking about spreads and stuff. Now you get the spreads on ESPN.com. Gambling is super mainstream now. It's legalized in most states. I mean, so things can change, and when they change, it can happen quickly. And yes, there can be some negative unintended consequences. I recognize that with any decision that's made, but that still should not limit your ability to see the bigger picture and the positives that would come along with passing name, image, and likeness.
Yeah, I agree. And I think this is going to be a thing. This has been a conversation for a couple of years right now, but we're now seeing it like push to the forefront and kind of, you know, saying, all right, now it's your move. What are you going to do, Congress? And so you're seeing, you know, desperate people, you know, that want to keep it the way it is and do not want this to pass along, like, you know, Greg Sankey and some other athletic directors from across the country that might try to get in that way. But again, it's going to happen, so we'll just have to see.
And might I say, everybody that's testifying in front of Congress today is not against name, image, and likeness. Former NFLPA President Eric Winston, he said that the name, image, and likeness rule changes would be either neutral to school revenues or additive to school revenues and athletes, because you would be working together. It would be like a partnership.
Yep.
So 656-9900, *990 is a free call for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. When we come back, duking it out again. Some interesting topics today on The Face-Off, next on Sports 180.
Illinois.
All sports, all the time. It's not a lifestyle we chose. We were born this way. 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Senate meeting. Got Ted Cruz. Shout out to our girl Marsha Blackburn, state of Tennessee representing. Just some very well-known names that are on this commission. And it is covering more issues related to college sports than just the name, image, and likeness. Steve Berkowitz, I'm reading his Twitter timeline, and he's keeping everybody very much up to date. They're also kind of roasting Ohio State interim president Michael Drake about the pledge that Ohio State kind of enforce the football players to sign, saying like almost like a code of conduct amidst the global pandemic. And they're like, yeah, you know, that's complete BS, right? That you can't enforce that.
How many of those have you had to sign during your athletic career though? I had to sign a lot.
I don't know. We had to sign. Now I could be totally wrong and my memory is awful. So Brian Rice can remind me if I'm speaking out of step, but I think we only had to sign NCAA drug policy paperwork.
Yeah, I mean, I had to every sign that year. Too. Yeah. But like a code of conduct, like a team thing, like team rules, essentially.
I don't know if we ever had to sign it. We went over the team rules, yeah. You know, like especially in regards to drinking and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I vaguely remember. I think we had to sign like a piece of paper one time saying that, you know, we're not going to do drugs and drink and all that stuff. And I just remember sitting there, I'm like, all right, I'm looking around at this room full like 70 dudes. And
but
I'm
you
like,
went to a private school, right? I mean, yeah. Carson Newman is Baptist. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, pretty strict. Yeah.
So that might've been a conference thing, but I remember sitting there, I'm just like, okay, there's no way they can enforce this. Not saying that I was advocating for that. I'm just saying, like, I mean, come on, let's be real here.
Yeah, it is college, no matter what college it is.
Oh, yeah.
656-9900, star 990 is a free call for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. Zach is on the line. Good afternoon, Zach.
Hey.
Hey, what's up, man?
So yesterday I was listening to some of it, and I didn't get all the information. I heard you talking about a high school basketball season. Do you have any information on that?
We were talking about all the high school sports in general. The TSSAA is working, and I appreciate the phone call, Zach. The TSSAA is working on a current plan right now for football. It's got three different options. We're going to go over that at the top of the hour. At this point in time, girls and boys basketball on the high school level has not been affected at all. By COVID-19, we did talk about yesterday the economic impact of canceling the rest of the basketball tournament in the state of Tennessee, how much of an economic impact that was, and the subsequent spring fling events. But at this point in time, girls basketball and boys basketball, those timelines are still very much intact, and they're planning on playing as usual.
Now, there was a conversation prior to today about potentially flipping the fall sports and the spring sports. And, you know, basketball is kind of a crossover season anyway. But regardless, notes from the meeting coming out, that was not a favorable scenario.
That's not even one that's being proposed.
That's not one being proposed at all. So nothing has been said about basketball. Really, the conversation has been girls soccer and football for right now.
Yeah, and if you want more information on that, we'll give a shout out to our boy Jesse Smithy. His website, Five Star Preps. Follow their Twitter feed. It breaks down the three options that the TSSAA is weighing right now. They will not have a final decision at this point in time. This is just something that they are thinking about. We're going to go over all of those options coming up right after the top of the hour break. So with that being said, let's go ahead and hit the face-off.
You want some? Come get some.
Head-to-head, toe-to-toe. Let's go one-on-one with today's face-off.
But to be the man, you got to beat the man.
Presented by Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center.
Are you ready?
Let's get this mother crock.
Sam Foreman at the Budweiser Studios. What do you have for us today, Sam?
All right. First up, should Jeremy Pruitt always wear orange when doing national interviews?
I don't care at all, one way or the other. Not every coach does. Sometimes they'll come up in a suit or a jacket or a button-up or whatever. Most of the times coaches do, because most of the times they're busy and they're working and they're repping their team gear. So for me, don't care. But if I was a boss, I guess I might say it's not the worst idea.
You couldn't tell from the angle of how the computer angle was set up. I'm pretty sure it was a smoky gray Tennessee issued shirt. He even threw a plug to Roger Frazier saying this is the shirt they gave me to do the interview. But yes, wear orange. Wear orange or wear white. You know my opinions. I am so over the smoky gray. When Jeremy Pruitt said they were going to wear black jerseys, I was kind of relieved because the gray is just not my favorite. Kudos to them for thinking outside the box, but wear orange during national interviews for sure.
Bottom line, you at least got to make sure the power T is visible in the angle at minimum. From Notorious Nick on Twitter, would Philip Fulmer have won a national championship with the 2016 Tennessee football team?
This I found scrolling today, Eric Kane. So shout out to you, Notorious Nick. Somebody in my Twitter timeline retweeted or liked your tweet, so I actually got to see it.
Yeah.
Thinking about Philip Fulmer coaching that 2016 Tennessee football team just sounds exciting. I guarantee one thing, Philip Fulmer would have gone to the Sugar Bowl with that team.
Yes.
Because they would have beaten Vanderbilt. Mark my words, I know how it ended in his tenure. That team would have beaten Vanderbilt.
The question should be, would they have gone to the Sugar Bowl? Absolutely, because Philip Fulmer would not have let that team lose to Vanderbilt, lose the way it did to salvage what it should have been a pretty decent season. You beat Florida.
A great season.
Yeah. You beat Florida, you beat Georgia, you don't win the East. Come on. A national championship? I don't know. Probably not, but it would have been better.
All right. We're going to go to football here for this next one.
My favorite subject.
As we're going to go a little head-to-head action now. Who are you taking? Pele, Ronaldo, or Messi?
I don't know. I mean, is this Ronaldo? I mean, I've heard of all of them. Now, I'm not going to lie. I haven't heard of Pele. I've heard of Ronaldo. Pele,
seriously?
The original GOAT.
Seriously?
Heard of Messi, obviously. Messi just scored his 700th goal. Give me Ronaldo.
They all have 700.
Give me Ronaldo.
Also, the translation for Eric Kane, he always went with B on a multiple choice test and he didn't know the answer. I'm going to go with the original OG. Give me Pele in this one. I don't know much about soccer. I know all these three guys are Billy Bad-A's at their sport and have also been known as the best ever or one of the best ever. So I'm going to go with the original OG. Give me Pele.
All right. Who would you rather have coaching your favorite NFL team, Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, or Mike Tomlin?
This is kind of, I don't know if I'm just so biased because I'm jealous of my husband, but I love Mike Tomlin. I think you all know that. He has won a Super Bowl. And I think he continually does a lot with his teams, even in the face of immense adversity. So give me Mike Tomlin above the other two Johnny Come Latelys.
Yeah, you can't really argue with the results of what Mike Tomlin has done. Plus, last year almost made the playoffs on his fourth string quarterback in camp.
Named Dunk Hodges, yeah.
The way he now it hadn't always been pretty at times, but the way he managed all those personalities, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, Ben Roethlisberger, all in one locker room for so long. Mike Tomlin's my pick. Definitely not Kyle Shanahan.
All right. We are halfway through 2020.
Thank God.
I don't know about you all, but I can use a little pep talk to get me through the second half. So with that in mind, what player or coach would you want to give us a halftime speech?
A halftime 2020 speech.
All right. So VFL Films put a couple of them out there during football season. Jeremy Pruitt got me fired up one time. I mean, just, you know, the juices started flowing a little bit. Jeremy Pruitt, shout out. I want to say PJ Fleck. Kind of a crazy guy. Go type in YouTube PJ Fleck speeches. A little bit nutty, and I need that. So give me PJ Fleck.
I'm going to go with the guy that, I mean, when he did it, he was a collegiate athlete, and it completely transformed their season. Exactly.
Tim Tebow, yeah.
Tim Tebow. I know there are some guys, even Philip Fulmer, one of the OGs of fiery rah-rah speeches. I mean, he would definitely be in my top five.
Yeah.
But I think I'm going with the Tebow Meister. And Tebow has never been one of my favorites, and I still would get fired up listening to him talk and get you hyped.
It's amazing what one answer can do. It can eliminate you from winning the face-off, and somehow it can bring you back. I am all about rowing that boat. PJ Fleck for the win.
That is terrible, because he should have lost on question three, Sam, not knowing anything about soccer.
He was going to lose. It was decided at that point until he mentioned rowing that boat.
I cannot stand. I think he is a robot, PJ Fleck. He's got a shtick, and he sticks to that. I don't think it's genuine. I think it's just his shtick.
I don't know. I just typed in YouTube PJ Fleck, and he got me all fired up during a couple hours ago when I saw this question. So that's why I picked him. But I got to say, Sam, you've judged Five Burning or the Face Off for me like 10 times during this period, and I haven't won one time when I should have won like a lot. And this is my day ever. And I get the win. I'll take it.
Hey, look, I get criticized apparently a lot doing this. I don't know. Maybe it's just because I judge this more serious than the normal producer of the show, you know, Jill Silverberg, who does a great job. Don't get me wrong, but I don't know. I have weird criteria. There was no food question, so that couldn't be what decided it. That's typically what decides a tie.
I'll take it, man. I'll take it.
Eric Kane with the win today.
Yeah. Didn't PJ earn it, but Fleck. I'll take
Maybe
it.
Maybe I don't give him enough credit, but it does. It just sounds, I mean, the whole, what is it? Row the boat, Oski Ma,
just
go
love
Gophers.
It. Row the boat. Row that boat all day long.
Would Coach O be anywhere in your top 10?
Yeah, Coach O, I've heard, has got, I mean, he'll like crush a Red Bull can against his chest after chugging it, throw some trash cans. I mean, they were the Wild Boys back when they were here for that year. Coach O would definitely get you fired up. The problem is, like, I need some motivation, too, to finish out the 2020 year. I don't know if he would give me any advice that I would be able to understand.
You could at least understand the Gold Huggers.
Yeah, yeah. Like, if I want to jump around in a mosh pit, yeah, you want Ed Orgeron there. He's going to get you fired up. But as far as, like, understanding what he was saying,
see, I agree.
You're just kind of nodding.
I agree with you. I'd be like, all right, Coach, let's head back out there. Also, shout out to the current Carson Newman head football coach, Mike Clowney. He was our DC when I was there. Oh, my goodness. You talk about scared / ready to roll.
Yeah.
That dude would scare you.
So. Honorable mention, our boy, friend of the show, of the driver of the sleigh ride, Ron Slay.
Oh, man. I didn't even think about him. I would run through a wall for Ron Slay.
Yeah. He got them boys fired up. I think it was the Georgia game 2 years ago. Talking to Grant Williams, like, don't let them punk you. You own this game. And he just, like, took off in the second half. I think it was the Georgia game. But, yeah.
Bleep, bleep, bleep. A lot of bleeps.
You would have to bleep it. Yeah. Not suitable for work language, for sure. So I like all those suggestions. I think PJ Fleck would actually be my least favorite, though.
That's fine. That's fine. I'm not going to lie. It was a little recency bias. He was the first one I watched. I'm like, oh, I'm ready to go. So
go Gophers.
Go Gophers.
Hey, when we come back, we are talking about the high school football tiers and the proposals that are in front of the TSSAA right now. They are in the process of developing a regular season and postseason schedule for football to present to the Board of Control. So we will give you all of the latest information that came out today in case you have missed it. That's coming up next. You will also hear from Jeremy Pruitt coming up in hour number two, and Braves radio guy Chip Carey is on the slate for 1:30. So stay tuned, buckle up. It's going to be a fun ride in hour number two of Sports 180.